The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and today I'm flying solo. Well, I'm not in a threesome. Christy's not here today. She's not on the line. Christy is really busy out there in Texas. She's got so much going on before she moves. She really wanted to be here for this interview, but she couldn't swing it. And so, you know, I could do this. I got this, okay? We love you, Christy. We miss you and we love you. So today, people, my lovely people out there getting married, or people in the wedding industry, or someone who just hopes to get married someday, I know you're there too. Or those people that are obsessed with weddings and they don't really know why, don't worry. It's okay. I did that too. I was one of you. Today, we are talking to a real officiant, someone who dedicates their time marrying people. And we've done a few shows around the subject of wedding ceremonies, officiating. But we thought we wanted to talk to an expert in this field because the trend a lot of times now is going toward, you know, asking a best friend or asking a family member, someone special to you, to officiate your ceremony, which is totally cool. But I gotta tell you, it's pretty amazing when you get someone who is talented and loves love, as she has told me, and dedicates their time to creating these amazing ceremonies for couples. So I want to welcome Meral from Honey Break Officiants. Hi, Meral.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to talk about this because I got to tell you guys, I found Meral on Instagram, as I find a lot of people. Just things are just moving that way. And I love her feed. I love her page. I love your website. And I reached out to her on direct message because I knew I wanted her on our show. I knew I wanted you guys to know about her and what she does. So where are you located?
New York City.
New York City? That's a big town. Sorry, I do voices sometimes, Meral. Just, you know, bear with me.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I love New York. I love New York. It's so much fun. When I was living in Boston, I loved that I could drive to New York. Because growing up in the West Coast, New York was a huge ordeal to get there. And I only went to New York before I moved to Boston. I think I went once and it was like, I was such a tourist. Like, this is so amazing. It's like on TV and I want to see celebrities. But then when I was living in Boston for 7 years, I think I went to New York, like, still not that much. I think I went like 4 times, but it's friggin' awesome. Do you live in Manhattan?
Yeah, I live on the Upper West Side, right near Central Park.
What?
Yeah.
How beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Meral, am I saying it right, Meral?
Yeah, you got it.
Tell me about yourself. Like, we'll go into the ceremony stuff, obviously, but I want to know what kind of person are you that you want to marry people?
Okay. So what kind of person am I? Well, like you said, I love love, and I think it's something that I've always been fascinated by. Like, even when I was a little kid, I would walk to school in the morning, and I grew up in New York City. So I would walk to school in the morning with my mom, and I would talk about, you know, I wonder if I'm walking by the person I'm going to marry. And I was like 4 years old. and like, I wonder where they are in the world. And my husband's from South Africa. So little did I know, we were, you know, thousands of miles away.
Yeah. You were not walking past him.
No, probably not. But yeah, I've always been fascinated by it. I love learning about how people meet and just learning their love story and how they, you know, fell in love. Almost everyone who I talk to, you know, says that they kind of like knew right at the beginning, which I think is so cool. So I've always been fascinated by love. I was a teacher for 5 years, and I actually started officiating weddings during my second year doing Teach for America. I was placed in the Bronx, and it was a really difficult placement. It was amazing because I, you know, learned so much and I grew in so many ways, but it was really, the days were really difficult, and the circumstances, you know, that the kids were facing, that the teachers were facing, was really difficult and eye-opening. So I started officiating weddings as sort of a side thing and an outlet on the weekends to
who said, or how did you get the idea to officiate wedding, going from teaching, or what is it? Going from, what's it called? Teach for America. Going from Teach for America to a side hustle of officiating weddings. How did you... you know, think of that. Like, how did that come to be?
Well, I was looking for joy. I was really looking for an outlet for joy.
Were you unhappy?
It was not that I was unhappy, but I was definitely stressed. Like, I was, so with Teach for America, you do your master's at the same time as you're teaching. So I was just, you know, the day to day was stressful. And it was really, I mean, it was a little bit sad because I was teaching. I was 22 and 23, and a lot of my students were 20 or 21 because they had been just so, I want to say kind of like cheated by the system, really. Mm-hmm. And so they were just, and they were reading on a second grade level. So there was all it was all this sadness. And I was really looking for something that was going to be pure joy. And this sort of fell into my lap, and I loved it. I felt, you know, as a teacher, you feel comfortable speaking in front of people. You can, many times, I know you're a wedding planner, many times I was the wedding planner because they didn't have the wedding planner. So I was like the one in charge, which, you know, being a teacher, I can do that.
Yes.
So yeah, it was this beautiful thing that just grew from there.
That's awesome. And so would you say you're like a romantic? Like, I'm just trying to picture you as a four-year-old saying, I wonder if I'm walking by the man I'm going to marry.
Yeah, total romantic.
Are your parents still married?
Yes, they are.
Are they like, were they like in love? Like, were they affectionate with each other when you were growing up?
I don't know that they were lovey-dovey. I think that I had this... I feel like this started from watching movies or watching shows, or I don't even know what, but like, that's really where I fell in love with love.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right. A hopeless romantic at heart. I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you started this kind of just as like an outlet. It sounds like that you needed some joy to kind of counteract that stress and that really probably disappointment with the system and what you were trying to learn and teach.
Yeah, totally. And definitely, like, another thing was I've always loved to write. And so I was writing lesson plan after lesson plan. And this gave me the opportunity to write more from the heart of, like, let me write your love story. You know, let me write your wedding ceremony. Something totally different.
So what was the first wedding you did?
Oh, yeah. So I married my uncle, and my uncle is gay, and I married him and his partner of 13 years at the time. So that was really, I mean, doing Teach for America, and, you know, I'm really, really passionate also about equality. So when, you know, when gay marriage was legalized in New York City, that was right when, about the time that my uncle and his partner got married and, or had me marry them. So that was really, really beautiful and really special. And I still hear about it, you know, 5 or 6 years later from them, how much it meant to them that I was the one who married them.
And so did you approach them or did they approach you?
They approached me.
Awesome. Awesome. And did you write the ceremony with them, or how did you do that one?
So the same way that I really talk to all couples is I really get a sense for, I mean, I know my uncle and his partner, but you know, I really get a sense for, like, they are super funny, and they lived in New Orleans for 20 years, and they're just, like, really amazing and hilarious. But I when I speak to couples, I talk to them, you know, I sort of tune into their relationship. What's their vibe? You know, did they, was it love at first sight? Have they been together since high school? You know, are they, do they love to travel? Are they playful? Are they really romantic? And when I get it, I ask questions, and then I just do a lot of listening. And from there, I get a sense of, you know, what type of ceremony is going to really represent their relationship and their love. And then I go from there.
Okay. Are you doing all your weddings in New York City?
Yes, all New York City.
And are you doing big weddings, little weddings?
Yeah, I do a mix. I do a lot of elopements, which I love. I love elopements. And then I do, I mean, I do weddings where there's like 250 guests. And then also, of course, there's a handful of, you know, smaller weddings, like 50 or 70 guests. But yeah, a lot of elopements, tons of elopements.
What would you say the average age range is, demographic? Like, where are they finding you?
So a lot of couples are right around my age, so late 20s, early 30s. I do a lot of vow renewals as well. And I also do a lot of couples who are on their second marriage who are a little bit older. But I would say that majority is like millennials, like late 20s, early 30s. And they find me like you did on Instagram. They find me, you know, my website. I'm on a couple of different wedding websites as well. And yeah, they email me or they call me or they direct message me.
So tell me about, walk me through the process of how you create a custom ceremony, because that's what you like to do, right? You like to write about these couples and...
So, I love to meet in person if possible. Sometimes I marry a lot of couples who are from Australia or the UK or overseas somewhere. So, you know, if we can't meet in person, we'll Skype or FaceTime. And I love to just start off and ask them how they met, because that really opens, most of the time it really opens them up. They usually, 9 times out of 10, it's a really amazing story that gives me chills, or is just like has us laughing. And, you know, there's so many little coincidences or things like that with how they met or how they fell in love, or, you know, if someone made the first move, that kind of thing. And so I just do a ton of listening from there, like quickly typing up notes about that. And then through that conversation, I also get to hear from them about what they're looking for. So a lot of the times, or most of the time, couples who find me, they don't want a religious ceremony, because that isn't really what I do. So, you know, it's a lot of DIY weddings, a lot of really cool, down-to-earth couples that want to have a modern ceremony. Maybe they want to incorporate traditions, but they want to modernize them. And they really want the ceremony to be about them, which it should be about them. You know, it shouldn't be something that's forced or awkward. And I always feel like this is sort of what I say, is like, you should find an officiant who you could be like best friends with, because that's going to make you really comfortable on the day of, because things are going to happen. You know, it's going to rain, or, you know, I don't know, things are going to happen, and you want to really trust the person and know that you're in good hands, that the ceremony is going to go smoothly. And so, you know, I do ask a lot of questions that really speak to their relationship. And through that, I also hear like, we want to write our own vows, or we saw this really cool thing, this really cool, you know, unity ceremony. Do you do that? Or like, we don't want to have any mention of God. You know, as they tell me about their relationship, I also learn about the kind of wedding they want to have and the kind of ceremony they want to have.
It's a common theme, I think, because Christy and I talk a lot about with wedding planners, and we also feel like strongly with photographers, like this should be someone that you could hang out with, that you want to go out to drinks with, that you want to spend time with. And I haven't necessarily thought in that way about efficiency, because you are there in the beginning, but then like once the ceremony's over, usually you head out. I mean, you might get invited. I'm sure you do. And you may even stay.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the day when you got married in a church, you would always invite your preacher, your pastor, the priest, because that they usually knew your family. Mm-hmm. But in your case, I can see that. And I can see, I mean, we always say this too, like the ceremony is, you know, like the actual act of getting married is the whole point of doing this, right? Like it's the whole point. So I get that and I see that and I can see how, and that goes also back to, you know, a trend that's happening of people choosing their best friend or choosing a family member. And those are people who they know so well, and those are meaningful people in their lives, and that's who they want marrying them. So I now have converted and I understand. And I like that saying that whomever you choose to officiate should be like someone who could be like your best friend. I love that.
Yeah, definitely. And I still keep in touch with a lot of my couples, because we're the same age. Like if I go to London, I know I have a handful of people I could, you know, call and be like, hey, do you want to get a drink? Because I was their wedding officiant.
That's so cool.
So that's always fun.
And
yeah.
I mean, are the majority of your clients not from New York? Like they're getting married there, but they're not from New York City?
Not majority, maybe like 40%.
Okay.
Or 50.
That's a big amount. I mean,
yeah.
It is a destination location.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. That's awesome. So tell me, some of your favorites that stick out. Like, okay, two things. I want to know some great stories, but I also want to know some actual content. I want to know some of the meaty, juicy, tear-jerking, goosebump words or parts of ceremonies that stand out to you, of the actual ceremony script or things that they've done during the ceremony. I mean, you always hear about the unity candles, right? That's an easy one. But like, what are some really cool, unique things people have done during a ceremony that might be some great ideas for our listeners? Let's start with some unique stories.
Cool. So I have so many favorite stories over the years. One that was just amazing. I met with this couple that I married back in December, but, you know, I asked them as I normally do, how did you meet? And they told me that they met, and I think they were like maybe like late 20s or early 30s. They told me that they met when they were in middle school in a AOL chat room.
Oh my God.
That I know, right?
Throwback. I remember
those. And the subject of the chat room, or like the theme of the chat room, was, I think, wrestling. And the bride was in the UK somewhere, and the groom was in upstate New York. And the whole chat room of middle schoolers became friends talking about wrestling, and they kept in touch over the years. And then she and him became like pretty much pen pals, or, you know, they would aim message each other. And they finally met, I think, when they were in high school or maybe after, fell in love. I mean, they fell in love because they were talking since they were so young, and that's how they met. And then it gets better. There's another couple that was in that chat room that was already married as well.
Oh, really?
They got married too.
Wait, what do you mean? They were married while they were in the chat room, or they got married years later like they did?
Yeah, no, they got married years later. This was a chat room of kids. It was all kosher.
So they stayed friends, and they found out, like they stayed friends from the time they were in middle school in these AOL chat rooms.
Yep.
That's so cute.
And so two weddings came out of that chat room.
But you only did one wedding.
Yeah, only one of them.
Awesome. Other stories?
So I don't know if this isn't really a love story, but this was a couple from France, and they're pastry chefs. And they got married, I think it was two or three Valentine's ago. It was the coldest Valentine's Day, I think, in 100 years in New York City.
Ooh.
And of course, they didn't know that that's what it was going to be. We knew it was going to be cold because it's February in New York City, but it was ice cold. It was just the two of them, and then I was their officiant, and then my husband was their witness because you need a witness in New York.
Okay.
So it was so freezing cold that we didn't even bother getting dressed up. Like, we were wearing heavy duty parkas. I think my husband was wearing ski pants. Like, it was freezing and they were freezing. We're all bundled up. And I mean, there was no one, there was not a soul in Central Park.
And so you were freezing your asses off, but they were warmed with love.
Yes, exactly. there was actually something in their ceremony that was like, you will be warm forever, or something that was just like happened to be in there. And yeah.
And your husband's like, Morel, you're not paying me enough for this. I'm freezing.
Yeah, they had him. He was the one, he was also videotaping it. So they had him holding the camera and he was like frozen solid holding the camera, videoing them.
Yeah. You're like, was there a photographer as well or just the video?
Nope, just my husband, witness, photographer, and videographer.
That actually brings up a really good question, Morel. For people who are really early on in the stages of planning, the actual logistics and legalities of getting married, right? Because it is a legal binding, you know, contract. You are filling out you're putting your signature on a legal form for the state of New York. And I know every state differs as far as requirements and, you know, when you can apply for the license and how long. For example, in California, your marriage license, once you apply for it, is only good for 90 days. You have to get married within those 90 days. I know that. So what about for New York, how long is it? Is it 90 days as well?
It's actually 60 days.
Oh, it's less. It's 60 days. Yeah. Okay. And then you have to have a witness. Mm-hmm. And that witness signs. I think here we have to have two witnesses or at least one. But I know that there's room for two signatures.
Yeah, there's room for two for New York, but you only need one.
Okay, I think that's how it is here too.
Yeah.
What about people coming from out of the country? I mean, do they need to get married in their own country first, or is getting married in New York State like make it legal for them in their country?
So that's a great question. It makes it legal in their country, but they have to present their marriage certificate. So, and it differs for every country, but there for some countries, like I know Germany, Germany is one, I think the UK is as well. You need to apply for an extended certificate. So what that means is that you basically have to go back home with the marriage certificate. You can't really wait for it to be sent to you. And it has to be this extended form that makes it legal in their country.
Okay, so they have to do some work once they get back.
No, actually on the front end here.
Oh, here on the front end.
Yeah, so they have to go back to the city clerk's office the next business day to get that extended form and have it all processed so that they're good to go and they go home.
Oh, okay. So they can't just come on a Friday, get married, and leave back on a Sunday. They've got to wait at least until Monday because they have to go back to the city clerk.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they take that then extended form and they bring it back to their country.
Exactly.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. So logistics. Okay. Any other weird logistical things, legal things that people should know that think about when a couple calls you and they have questions for you and there's always those things that you have to explain.
Yeah. Okay. So another thing that's really important that I always tell them is that you have to wait 24 hours. So there has to be 24 hours between when you get your license at the city clerk's office to when you're actually getting married. And the way that I think of it is like, it's probably because if you go to Vegas, you can get the license and get married right away. So if you're wasted, you can get married. In New York, they make you wait 24 hours. So it's like, are you sure?
So you have to get there on a Thursday.
Yes.
And go to the clerk on Friday to get married on Friday. Saturday.
Exactly.
Although it'd have to be like, if it's Friday, 8 a.m., you could get married early as Saturday, 8 a.m. Is it like literally, yes, like to the hour, to the minute?
Literally 24 hours, and it says it at the top like whenever they print out your license, it'll like say like not until like this, like 9:32 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Do you ever help people get those appointments? Like, are you ever involved in that part for people coming from out of the country, or do you just point them in the right direction?
No. So there isn't an appointment. It's basically like first come, first serve. Ugh. But what I do tell them, and this is another crazy thing, is that their hours are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's only open on the weekdays. So I always tell couples, be the first ones there. Avoid the line. The line can be sometimes like 2 hours
if you're going at lunchtime. It's like the DMV or the RMV.
Exactly. Except much happier people. The people in the marriage bureau are so happy.
They are. They're like, hi. Exciting.
Yeah, they're really nice. They're really nice.
Okay. So that's a little nerve-wracking for people coming from out of town, right? Like that's like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can be. I think that it can also be fun because it is a really cool, I guess, department of government. And there are a lot of people getting married there at the city clerk's office. Yeah. So yeah, city hall. So that's fun to see. There's always people selling flowers outside for that reason. Like yeah. I said, everyone's really happy. The security guards are really upbeat and funny. So I always tell them like, make sure you have that time to go and line up.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, cool. Yeah. So tell me now about some really cool custom, unique ideas to throw in during a ceremony. Things you've seen or things you would love to see or love to do.
Okay. This is a really easy one, and it's a really nice way to honor, you know, family members or friends and make them feel really special is to have them do the reading or to have them do a reading.
Yeah.
And just to like not have it be something traditional. So, you know, if it's like lyric, I had a couple, their friend like recited the lyrics to, a Coldplay song. And it was like really funny because they were not singing. They were just speaking the lyrics, but everyone knew the song.
Uh-huh. That's so cool.
Yeah. So something like fun like that. And it's
something
nice because
pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture, or that's meaningful to them. I have a lot of couples who, you know, their favorite book or, you know, a quote from their favorite movie or TV show. So that's always good. And then, I think you mentioned unity ceremonies, like the candle. I've had a lot of really awesome variations of unity ceremonies. So if you're not familiar, unity ceremony is basically a symbolic way to show that the two of you are, you know, getting married or together. So, I have a wedding coming up that's really cool. They're doing the Spanish tradition of coins and arras, which
yes.
is, you've heard of it?
I'm Mexican, so.
Oh, there you
go.
But
tell our listeners about it.
Okay, cool. I got married in Mexico.
You did? Where?
Yeah, Playa del Carmen.
Oh, beautiful. I haven't been there. My aunt lives near there.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. So they didn't want to have any. This tradition, as you probably know, has a lot of religion, you know, woven into it, and they didn't want to have any religion, but they still wanted to honor their families, and this tradition was something that both the bride and groom thought was really cool. So they we modernized it so that it was not including religion, but what it is so their parents come and the mothers wrap them in the arras, which I hope I'm saying that right, which is the lasso.
The lasso.
Yeah, and that is symbolic of their declaration of intent, and it shows that they're marrying of their own free will, and it also shows or symbolizes that, you know, may their love grow stronger as they are bound together.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yeah, I forgot about this, actually.
Yeah, and then, this is my first time that I'm doing this, and then the coins, their fathers come up and give them coins. And then I speak to the symbolism of the coins, which represent prosperity and, you know, good fortune together in their life. So I love that they included that because it's something that's important to them, but it wasn't in the traditional sense where we had to talk about religion or something that they didn't feel comfortable with.
And those coins, oftentimes, they're gold. I mean, they used to be gold. And that's something also when a couple has their baby, the padrino, the godfather, usually throws those gold coins. Like, they throw them out on the steps of the church after the baptism.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, I think a lot of people, this is like a kind of a good side note, a lot of you out there who are from different cultures, you know, a lot of people born here, but we all have this amazing, you know, cultural backgrounds. And I love when two different cultures marry. If you go back and look at the traditions, there might be some really cool things you can incorporate into your ceremony. And it's really lovely, even if you're not super into it, you know, like growing up or maybe your grandmother was and she's deceased, like conjuring up some stuff like that and in memory of someone or just to celebrate your individual cultures is really awesome. And people love to see that at a ceremony and experience that.
Definitely. Definitely. I can tell you some more.
Yes, please.
Awesome. So another one of my favorites is called the wine box ceremony. And before I tell couples about this, I'm always like, do you guys drink wine first?
Yeah, do you like wine?
If they're like, no, I'm like, okay, never mind. You're not going to like this. But basically it is the couple chooses a wine that is, you know, important to them. Maybe the year is significant, or maybe it is from their favorite vineyard or their favorite kind of wine. And you can get a really cool wine box, and they have really awesome ones on Etsy that are personalized. You can have your initials in them, and they're a little wooden wine box. And each of the partners write a love letter to the other, expressing, you know, what are their favorite things about the other person? Why do they love them so much? Favorite memories. I always tell them, like, make it so that, like, they're going to cry when they read it. But they don't read it. So then during the ceremony, they each put their letters sealed into the wine box with the bottle of wine. And the purpose or the intention is that they open it on their 5th or their 10th wedding anniversary. And then they read the notes. Or if they come across hard times, they're fighting, something isn't going right, they sit down and they open the wine and they read the letters and they're reminded.
I love that.
Yeah, they're reminded of why they love each other. And it's so beautiful.
I, as a person who's been married for going to be 17 years, I wish we would have done that, because you will go through hard times, really hard times. And I think that is probably more important than opening it on an anniversary.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I love that one too. Some other ones, if you're doing something small, with just a few guests or, you know, 10 or 15 guests, you can do a ring warming ceremony, which your guests during the ceremony, like right at the beginning, I'll say something about how their rings are being passed around. And everyone, when the rings get to them, just give them a little blessing or, you know, positive vibes, good wishes. And when the rings come back around, that's when we do the ring warming ceremony, where it's right before they put on the rings. And I talk about how all of their guests and the people that they love, that they've chosen to be here today, and that their guests have chosen to be there today too, have all given, you know, warmed their rings so that they're ready for them, and they hold all those blessings and those good vibes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, if I was getting married again, I would want to do all of these things. I'd have like a 3-hour ceremony.
You'd have all the unity ceremonies.
All right, every single one.
Oh, I love it.
That's awesome. Do you have more?
So, you know, there's the one where, this is pretty custom in Jewish ceremonies and probably in other cultures too, but where you drink from, it doesn't have to be religious actually. You each drink from the same goblet of wine.
Yeah.
But I had a couple who they're obsessed with beer, and they make their own beer, and they go to beer gardens, and they're like beer connoisseurs. So they did that with beer. And I talked about how, you know, the hops in the beer and like the bitterness and the sweetness represents the bitterness and the sweetness of life.
Ooh, and marriage. That's
yes,
good.
And marriage, right.
Yeah. That yeah. is awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Hey, when they're passing around, when they do the ring warming ceremony, what do you put the rings in? I mean, what if they drop? What are they in? I'm a yeah. wedding planner. I'm always worried about the ring. I've actually had a ring fall and be lost, and it took us a long time to find it.
That's so scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really scary. So either like, you know, little like a little like lace pouch or... When okay. one time that, we did yeah. it and it wasn't in any, the rings weren't in anything, but we were in this little garden and it was like all like really nicely trimmed grass. So, you know, the risk of it falling, there was like 10 people. So the risk of it falling anywhere was.
Okay.
Yeah. You're like, nah, not so sure.
No, don't do that again. Do the pouch.
Okay.
Do the pouch. The pouch is good too, because even if it's like a kind of a bright color,
yeah.
I would recommend, but then you could kind of feel the rings and they're usually translucent, right? So you right. kind of see through. I like that.
Yeah. I love that. That reminds me of a story that another officiant told me, was that, you know how the ring boxes have like the spring in them?
Yes.
So there's this place in Central Park called Wagner's Cove, and it's right over the water. It's a little gazebo over the water. There's no, you could step off and fall in with the turtles. when the groom opened, I think oh, it was no. the groom, opened the ring box, the springs popped the ring into the water. Yeah. So scary.
Did he go in after it?
No, I think they went on with the ceremony. But what's so amazing was that the officiant stayed for, like, she went home, got her galoshes, and like went to find the ring. And she never found the ring, but she found another really beautiful ring that looked like it had been there for 30
Stop.
Years and gave it to the
Stop.
Couple. Yeah.
And they used it?
Well, they had already done the ceremony, but they, yeah.
I know, but like, did they keep that ring?
Yeah, they kept it.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that was meant to happen.
I know. Crazy.
That would have scared the hell out of me, though, during this. Oh, my God.
I know. But these things, I mean, I feel like between teaching middle schoolers and high schoolers and, you know, doing officiating weddings, nothing phases me. I'm like, okay, we'll find a way. I'm sure you feel that way as a wedding planner, too. Like, you'll find a way through it.
Right. And you have to keep that face. Like, it's cool. There's yeah. nothing wrong. Everything's fine. How long have you been officiating weddings now?
So a little over 6 years. So since I started in 2012.
And then you and your husband got married in Playa del Carmen.
Yes.
At what year?
Just this past November 2017.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, November what?
12th.
I'm November 17th.
Your anniversary?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then why did you decide to get married, over there?
We wanted it to be somewhat small, and he has a lot of family that are international. So Australia, he's from South Africa, so he had a lot of family in South Africa. And at the time his brother was living in Mexico. His brother had also gotten married in Mexico in Acapulco a few years prior. And we were like, this is beautiful. It's going to be beautiful in November. It actually rained a lot on our wedding weekend,
yeah.
But it was still so beautiful. So yeah.
How many guests did you have?
I think it ended up being 90.
Oh, nice. That was a lot for a destination wedding.
Yeah. A lot of people came out.
All your families in New York City?
Northeast.
Okay.
My family is. Yeah.
Do you have people in Boston too?
No.
That's okay. I won't hold that against you.
I went to Boston University, but I don't have any family there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, cool. And, can you tell our listeners, you told me this on the phone, so I've heard this, but can you tell our listeners how you came up with the name for your business?
Yes, definitely. So, I taught for 5 years and my husband, I did Teach for America right straight out of college, and my husband and I continued teaching 3 years after the two. And then my husband went right into law school directly after college. So neither one of us took a break. He's a real estate attorney, and both of us were like super burnt out and wanting to travel. So we we quit our jobs and we traveled the world for 6 months. We went to Southeast Asia, we went to South Africa, we went to Japan, Australia, and we called it our honey break because it wasn't our honeymoon. We weren't married yet. We had just gotten engaged, which I didn't know was happening when we were planning this trip. Aww. Yeah. And so we called it our honey break. And I kind of, you know, equate that now to with weddings is finding, you know, there's during your wedding, there's the dancing and the eating and the talking and the laughing, and hopefully you're doing lots of laughing and you're having lots of fun because that's the point. But the ceremony is kind of like this moment of stillness and this moment of unity and this beautiful moment that you want to be fully present for, and you want to be, you know, really special for you and for your guests and really symbolic of your relationship. So it's kind of like your honey break, you know, it's finding that stillness and that peace, you know, during this really special moment.
That's pretty awesome. I love that.
Thank you.
And you have a couple other women that work for you as well doing ceremonies. So you do most of them, right?
Yeah, I do about 90% of them. And I have two women who are independent contractors who, you know, do the ceremonies on, you know, if we're double booked or if I'm away. They are available.
And tell us where our listeners can find you and your awesome Instagram feed and your website and any resources or ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at Honeybreak Officiants. That's my Instagram handle. And then my website is www.honeybreakofficiants.com.
Awesome. And will you travel if somebody wants to bring you somewhere for a wedding?
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, right? Why
destination
wouldn't you?
Wedding officiant? Why not? Yeah. Take me with you.
I'll go with you too.
Ooh, I love it.
So that's how to find Mirel. And as always, you can find us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, Twitter at TBWP Podcast, on Facebook. And we have a phone number that I really want you to call and leave us a message and tell us about yourself or ask us a question. And that number is 415-723-1625. You guys, thank you so much for writing reviews on iTunes. If you haven't written one and you have like 5 minutes, you would make my freaking day. And that's also just a way to let others know about our show. The more ratings and reviews we get on iTunes, the more exposure we get. So I hear, that's what they tell me. I don't know if it's true. Do you know if it's true? Let me know. And then the other thing is we're on Patreon. So we're doing a lot of work for this podcast. We are helping so many of you plan your weddings. We know that because you've told us. And if you would be so kind as to become a member, you go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast where you can just give us a little money every month. You know, it could be $1, it could be $5, some people do $20. And there's some really awesome benefits to becoming members, and it's going to help us with some financial backing to grow this show and do so many more cool things. So that's how you can get a hold of us. Oh, and email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a website. Mirel, there's so many ways people can find us and get a hold of us. Like I could do a whole show just on that. Anyway, thank you so much, Mirel, for sharing with our listeners, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was fun. All right, everybody. Happy planning, everyone. Don't forget to hashtag plan that wedding, and we will talk to you next week.